Right, well, we have a title for us to consider today. Is my obedience to God costing others? Is my obedience to God costing others? I want to start by looking at Luke 23 and verse 26, which you know very well, and something that probably is often overlooked, but it's there for a reason. And we read in Luke 23, verse 26, where Jesus is going to Calvary, he's going to his execution, and the cross he bears is too much for him, the weight of it. And here we see in verse 26, now as they led him away, they laid hold of a certain man, Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming, who was coming from the country. And on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. So we know a little then about this man. He's on his way on a journey. His name is Simon, a Cyrenian. So he's somewhere from the east. And on him, they lay the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. In other words, he's helping our Saviour carry this cross because our Lord couldn't. And we're calling this teaching today, Is My Obedience to God Costing Others? It's interesting that we read from this where we bear our cross daily and we follow him. And I can't help but see a correlation with this. There are times that we need help in bearing our cross that we are to daily take up and follow the Lord, which God makes very clear to us. And who helps us bear this cross when the weight just seems to cause us to crumble underneath? Is the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit. And here they laid the cross on Simon. Probably they weren't interested whether he wanted to do this or not. The Romans were cruel. But they chose him and said, you are going to do this. I get the impression there's no option. He does it. But his name is clearly mentioned. Will we see him in paradise? Who knows? Now, the Greek word for bear is pharo. And this word means to bear the burden. And this is where we also get the word to endure. To endure patiently. And the idea of this word in which to bear or to endure is in nature protective. It protects us. It guards us. There's a reason why at times our burdens become so powerful, so strong, such a burden that we're crumpling under it, that protection suddenly is there. A help with that burden is there. And that is why we keep telling you, keep coming, keep listening, endure, stay with it, because that bearer, the Holy Spirit, who has come into your life baptizing you, is going to help you in your weakness when it becomes too much. And there are times when God is going to take us to the point of breaking, when you can bear the burden no longer. And there is a reason for that. And we will look at that probably as we go on with this study. But we also get this idea, this Greek word pharo, which means to bear the burden. We can see this in our modern world of today. For example, there was the horsepower where horse and cart helped with the burden. Then the bike, the bicycle, and now we have the car, all of which helps us with our burdens, with the journeys, all those things that used to cost our forefathers. We have transport today. This just reminds me again of the idea of to bear the burden, the load. I'm sure most of us are absolutely grateful for our cars that can take us to A to B. And where if we go shopping or we have to pick something up, instead of manually having to take the weight of that which you did years ago, you're able to put it in the boot or whatever it is. So here we see even in our modern day living, life in that way has been made a lot easier than it was hundreds of years ago, and certainly in the time of our Lord. Now, Jesus uses this same Greek word. It's used in many, many times in the Bible, but I've chosen this extract to just bear with you on this. So Matthew 17 and verse 17. Matthew 17 and verse 17, because I've already said to you how the Holy Spirit, he doesn't give up on us. And here is an example of Jesus' ministry in Matthew 17 and verse 17. Then Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me." And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Here we see the Lord bearing with them when they should have healed the boy. And they didn't. And this is why Jesus is still with them. He's not yet gone to the cross. It's not the appointed time. He's still with them. Here is the long suffering, the mercy, the grace of God. He's bearing with them, but he's also rebuking them. How long is this going to take? When will you people believe? When will you take authority over the powers of darkness and demons? Because remember that over a quarter of Jesus' ministry was rebuking the devil, casting out demons. Has things changed? Not at all. If anything, the age which we live in now is even worse. And if you are really walking with the Lord, you are going to experience, or should be, that a lot of your experience, your praying, ministering, is dealing with the powers of darkness. And so, if we are obedient to God, and that is that we take up our cross daily and follow him as he tells us to do, then our obedience is often going to cost others more than it costs us. And that is a fact. You see, if we love the Lord with all our heart, then obedience doesn't cost us anything. It's a delight to those who love him and want to obey him. We know this from Psalm 40 and verse 8. Psalm 40 and verse 8. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is written in my heart. You see, you can't just stop at what it says, I delight to do your will, O my God. You can only have delight in doing the will of God if God's law, his word, is within your heart. That is the key to it. Otherwise, it's merely lip service and we're just deceiving ourselves. Because our obedience, it costs a great deal if we obey. It doesn't come easy in that sense. The actual obeying, if the word of God is within us, as the psalmist says, is a delight. It's not a problem. It's the consequences of that obeying. And Jesus is obedient to the cross. He hasn't tried to justify himself. He goes like a lamb to the slaughter. But look what it is costing. It had to take another person to help him with his cross. His obedience led so much confusion to his followers, to his mother, to the disciples that all stood afar off at the cross, utterly confused. The disciples have forsaken him. Look what his obedience is doing. Look at the mocking, the jeering, the utter confusion that is going on. Is Jesus on the cross trying to explain what is happening? Is he trying to comfort them or whatever? No, not at all. Because he's going to leave all of the consequences of that to his Father. He knows his Father has a higher purpose and plan. And we have to leave these things with God with regard to our obedience, to your family, your loved one, your spouse, your children, who are always going to interpret it wrong. Why you're following the Lord, why you love him, why you read his word. It often throws confusion, but you do not have to justify yourself. Because by doing that, that is where we lose it. You won't be able to reason with them. Your actions, you leave with God and let him deal with them. What God wants is your faith, your prayers, not trying to explain or justify. Because other people's plans around your life and family, which often it is upset. Because you're not doing what they want them to do. Or maybe you're having to say, no, I'm not joining you with this because this is not morally or ethically right. A Christian shouldn't be seen in this situation. And your family will try and draw you into it. Trust me. But this is where we obey God and we don't justify. They'll often say, well, if this is Christianity, it's a bad example as far as I'm concerned. Of course it is, because they don't have the light in them yet. They're not seeing. but stay with it and they will. Often you're intervening with your family, your loved ones, your spouse hinders their salvation. You do not have to explain. Our Lord never explained or justified himself. He knew if he obeyed his Father, doing the will of God, which we're to do, God will deal with the rest. And he does. Let the cost of your life, your walk, the cross that you take up each day, leave it with God, and you will watch and see what he will do, because so often we get in the way. And the Holy Spirit, he must do that work through your faith, your obedience. After all, what would be the point then of all of this? What is the point of dying daily if we're going to then get in the way of what we're doing, which is a sacrifice? That dying daily is precisely that we get self out of the way. We get those emotions, those things that try to get us to justify our actions. We don't have to. If our faith is in our Heavenly Father and we believe in the resurrection power that comes from the cross, then that resurrection power says, don't say a thing. Leave it with me. I'll deal with them. And rightly so, for God created them and he made them. You didn't. So let's trust our Heavenly Father in our obedience to the cross we take up daily. In other words, let the cross do its work. Here it is in 1 Corinthians 1:18. You know this very well. You probably got it underlined. But let's remind ourselves of this as we take in the word of God. We have to take these words, these messages, scriptures into the heart. Do not neglect this, FGA. Whatever you're going through, whatever your circumstances, let this word live in you. Here it is. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. So in other words, we know nothing unless it's revealed to us by the Spirit, by the cross we take up. So he says, let this message, this teaching of the cross, which is foolishness to those who are perishing. Now, what does that mean there? Well, it means that you have people of the circumcised or in the house of God are hearing the teaching. They're hearing the message just like today, but you could be perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God, and that is where it lies. I have always stressed, you have to have the power of God working on your behalf. The very power that raised him from the dead, the very power working in your life, even now as we listen to this. For this is your salvation. This is where we are being saved, where we put our heart and mind and attention to the word. We come faithfully to the meetings and we hear the word. Because for some, they are perishing as a result. Why are they perishing? Because they do nothing with that which they hear. Therefore, faith, Romans 10:17, faith isn't coming by hearing. Why aren't they hearing? Because they allow the world to hinder that hearing. Or they have hardened their heart with pride with that hearing. It's awesome, isn't it? This is why we say so often the word of God preached is life for some and death for others. This is speaking in the household of God, because the world aren't interested out there. Often the world isn't our problem. The problem comes from those who are professing Christ. That is where the problems, the trials and the oppositions come. That's where I've met it often in my life. And the Apostle Paul did. The scribes, the Pharisees, always following him, with big bulging eyes, ready to pounce on anything they could find doctrinally wrong. And Jesus prophesied all the woes to them, fearful. They will be in the lowest part of the pit in hell, those people, because they stop the way of salvation through their pride, their arrogance. The cross will always deal with it, every time. I've said for many, many, many years, and will continue to do so, the central theme of the gospel is the cross. And I think we're seeing it more and more as we go on, as we learn by the Spirit, by the Scriptures. And so our obedience is going to upset at times. They're going to tell you you're a bad example. They're going to tell you you're not an example to the children, grandchildren, or whatever it would be. Some of you have already probably had it said to you. But praise God, you don't have to justify. Let the cost be paid and leave it with God. Because it is a cost. Jesus said it's going to cost you everything in which to make it into the kingdom of heaven. So as we've read there in 1 Corinthians 1:18, let that cross you take up daily, let it just do its work. And that's why you see often our trials challenge us to obey. That is why we have our trials. And he says that we will go through much trial and tribulation of which to make it into the kingdom of God. But what we don't always understand with our trials, it's working that obedience within us. I know this last physical trial that I have gone through, in thinking and reflecting on this, I've seen how God is working obedience within me through it. And that's why you can rise up and you can start to praise and thank the Lord and count it all joy. Because only the cross can produce all of this. It doesn't come any other way. And one of the things that God will still continue to challenge, particularly here in FGA, we still at times lack in our prayer life. We're not as committed as we should be to our prayers and intercessions. Sometimes it's difficult. Family life can make it impossible. But God says, all that which is impossible, I will make possible. John 6:33, put first the kingdom. Then all these things will be added unto you. And those of you who have family life, who have children, God will put a sleep on them. They'll have a good night's sleep. They'll give you that quality time as a husband and wife to spend time in prayer. Sometimes, husbands, you have to take the lead. You're the head. And this is why there's not breakthroughs as there should be. It's so easy to let the flesh just take over, I've had enough, and so on. Come back to that cross you take up daily, and in time you will find that resurrection power beginning to take over in your weakness. Our prayer life is so important. It's important for each of us individually to get into our closets daily and meet with him and to listen to him and to allow the Spirit to do that work with us, as well as just rejoicing and enjoying and being blessed by his presence. And another area is to continue to be in this word. Don't neglect it, because other things take precedence. They should be the two most important things that come first in your life you settle. My prayer life, my study of the word takes precedence over everything else. You've allowed the enemy to get in, to suggest his lies. And then that apathy comes in and you just feel, oh, I'm my own worst enemy. And depression. I know, I've been there. You've got to rise up in the name of Jesus and take the enemy. He's robbing you. Get into the Word of God. Get into these books from Deeper Life in the Spirit. Positive Thinking, Confession. These other booklets that God has blessed us with over the years. I go back into them sometimes and I'm always blessed. I always find something fresh and new and think, wow, I didn't see it like that before. You've neglected a lot of this, brothers and sisters. Get back. This is what is going to build you in the faith to endure. This is our obedience to God. And you will see the fruit of it, you see. The devil is a robber and a thief. That is his nature. Don't let him do it in your life. God has called us into a time, into a message and walk as overcomers, first fruits unto the Lord. It's inexcusable to what we're hearing. And we will be answerable on that day, that awesome day before God. Now, that has come up for a reason. God knows. God sometimes admonishes us as a church, but he does this in love because he's seeing with some of us the enemy has got in. And you've got to get him out. And this is the way you do it. It may take a little time. It won't happen immediately. But you move forward and take that promised land that God has given to us. The devil doesn't want you to have it. But Christ has paid the cost for that promised land for us. And you have to press in for it. Look to the cross. Look to what it cost our Saviour. What he's given you and I. Doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter what your circumstances are. It's what God says in his word. Let's rise up. Let's not take second best FGA, but the very best that he's given to us. And because we're so at the end of this race that we're in, we are seeing the signs and the times. We are seeing this falling away. We're seeing God shaking the heavens and the earth. We're hearing governments, countries, politics in an absolute mess. The level of global debt is utterly frightening. That cannot stand. That is going to collapse. We know this in the book of Revelation. Babylon falls. So we're seeing all of these signs before us, loud and clear. Don't let us be affected by this. As the world is going down and down, we are going up and up. We're doing the opposite to what the world is. Just like when the flood came, the ark lifted and saved that family and raised them above the tides of judgment. So likewise, the Spirit now, who's working within us, is raising us up in glory so that we will be ready for when the rapture comes, that spiritual ark, that Philadelphian church, the promise that's given to that little church, that remain faithful to who? Jesus. His word, his love, his faithfulness, everything that he is. That isn't complicated. That is all about love, relationship. And Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So here it is. It's what we've been talking about. Is my obedience to God costing others? If you are obedient, it is. But your obedience is answering your prayers, is saving your loved ones, is healing your body, is meeting all your needs, is using you in your ministry as an example, reaching out to this dying world. It isn't rocket science. It's just we need to yield and stop resisting. Praise God. Is my obedience to God costing others? Well, I trust you've been blessed. Yes, we've been challenged. And yes, we've been rebuked. But that is a sign our Heavenly Father loves us. And at times he chastens those whom he loves. Because if we're not chastened, then we're illegitimate. So we thank the Lord. We thank him for these meetings. We thank him for this time and fellowship. And